For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So I've got to love myself. Now, why is it that when I love myself for real, all of a sudden I can love my neighbor? Because when I love myself, I'm no longer trying to use my neighbor. I no longer need my neighbor, quote my boyfriend, quote this guy, quote somebody else's husband. I no longer need them to give me affection. I no longer need them to make me feel okay about myself. I no longer need them for anything. I don't need them for anything. I love myself. That doesn't mean I'm independent. That means if God wants that person to bless me and God chooses to reveal himself through that person, and if you're married and you're both believers, then God's going to use you to reveal Christ to them in certain areas and vice versa. And God loves doing that. God's like, I'm going to pour this into you. Now you go cook your husband a good meal. Now I'm going to pour this into him and he's going to pay the electric bill. And I'm going to pour this into you and you're going to do this. Amen. But it's a pouring out. And you got to get this. It's serving and loving and pouring out. Pouring out. What can I do? What can I do for you? What can... See, and if I love myself, I don't have to get anything back. But this whole perverted way the enemy does it is, how can you take care of me? And what can you do for me? And I don't even care if you're married to somebody else. I need somebody to pay the bills. And I need somebody to do this. And I need, and I need, and I need, and I need, and I need. And so most relationships are based so much on somebody's need, instead of God bringing together people who are complete in him. Amen? And a whole media just pours this at you. Don't pretend that what you see and what you hear doesn't influence you or affect you. It's not true. And even for your children, your grandchildren, if you could help them understand what God's really about, what he's really about, and this love story, and help them to get that. I know it's difficult, but you have to pray it and walk in it, all right? You bite and devour one another. Be careful that you're not consumed by one another. I say to you, walk in the Spirit. Okay, you ready for this? Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Which means what? If I don't walk in the Spirit, I'm going to live in the flesh. Can we just say, even reading these letters from 2,000 years ago, there was a problem with the people born again of the Spirit of God walking in the flesh. That's another whole conference. How do we not walk in the flesh? Somebody start writing down all these conferences we need to do. Amen? But you really die to self. You can't die to self till you love yourself. People who come to God because they feel like they're nothing will not live in this very well. If you come to God because you think you're nothing, let people come to BFA like that. We have to build you up so that you know you're something. Once you really know how awesome you are, then you have to choose to die. If you choose to die when you don't think you're anything, you didn't really choose to die. You actually just chose to get out of the picture and you still believe all the lies the enemy has said about you. That's not death. That's self-hate. And self-hate will never produce a person who walks in love. You're like, oh my gosh, this is so much more complicated than I thought. It's really not complicated. It's really a matter of go before the Lord and be real. Deal with where you don't love yourself. Deal with your sin. Deal with everything. Go deep. Get the teaching. Get whatever you need. But go there. Amen? And recognize, I need to really love God. And go read, what is it, 1 Corinthians 13? Said it? First, I don't know where anything's at. I just know what's in there. The part we made up, I don't read, like the names and stuff, right? 1 Corinthians 13, I believe, is the love. Isn't that where they read at weddings and stuff? Okay, so look at that and go through it line by line by line by line and say, do I envy? Do I this? Do I that? And recognize God is love. So he's giving us who he is and how he sees things. Amen? And start tearing those things down. That's how you get free. You look at and you let, if you really ask God to show you and you start reading, and it jumps at you. Oh, yeah. He's like, let's deal with this. Amen? Let's deal with this. He's not afraid to deal with it. He's not afraid to show you it's there. Why? Because he is a sanctifier. He is holy, and he knows you should be holy. Amen? And so he's like, my job is to get you there. I'm not asking you to come into this thing holy. God didn't say, it's a lie. Once you're saved, you're perfect. No, come on. I can just make you, come here. Come talk to me a minute. Talk to me a half hour and we'll see exactly where you're not perfect, at least a few things. Amen? Come on. Has anybody met the perfect person who's perfect? Has anybody met the person who's perfect the minute after they got saved? All right. I say, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if you're fulfilling the lust of the flesh, your problem is you're not walking in the Spirit. And we do have teaching to help you with that. You know, we really got to get serious. You got to get serious. Say, I am not walking in the Spirit because of the way I'm acting right now. Amen? And as you mature and fall in love with Jesus and understand his ways and let him sanctify you and get the evil out, you will actually walk with him deeper and closer to where you really never cuss. Like, it's like, feels funny to you to even think about it. I always tell this story because it's just too cute. It's probably, my kids have never heard me cuss, like never, their whole lives. And if you went back when I worked at the radio station, I was saved, but I didn't know anything. I wasn't sanctified. Oh my gosh, I have a journal on one page. There's a blankety blank blank. I never said the F word, though. That was just way nasty. But, you know, the D word and S word or whatever. And I said, you know, and I'd see that on one page on my journal. And the next page, say, oh God, I need you. Oh God, help me, Lord. And I'm thinking, I look like a schizophrenic. And I was truthfully, I was just at that point being drawn into God. That was the point in my life where he's beginning to draw me to him. And I'm looking at this thing going, oh my gosh, if I saw somebody act like this, I'd say, you're not really saved, you hypocrite, blah, blah. You know what I mean? And the truth is, I really didn't even know back then that cussing like that was wrong. I mean, I knew it was kind of wrong, but I just... Aren't you glad God hangs out with us until as he's cleaning us up? Aren't you glad he's bigger than all that? Because he is a God of righteousness, not self-righteousness. Just hanging out with him and growing in him cleans you up. Amen? So we want to walk in the Spirit. It goes on. The flesh lusts. Okay, look at the word lusts, okay? When we look at all of these things, these movies, these television shows, these romance novels, just straight out pornography, all this stuff, all of it is geared towards one thing, causing your flesh to lust. Okay? It causes your flesh to lust. And even the enemy using hurt places in you to entice you, or cultural standards that aren't of God. Well, everybody's doing it. Well, that's just how it is. Well, you got to get a man, however you got to get a man. Somebody's got to take care of the kids, blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, they just don't understand it. Okay, we got to understand as believers, we are not in that kingdom. Amen? It's a new day. Amen? It's really a new day. And all the things, I would call it bouncing around in your brain, even now saying, but you don't understand. I don't have to understand. I know the one who's bigger. I know the one. I've watched God give people jobs when nobody else would have ever thought of giving them jobs. The reason that you gave in to sexual sin, and there's tons of reasons, I can't get into it all, there's lots of teachings to help. I just want you to see this. It was your flesh that was filled with lust. Now, let me tell you, lust isn't just always wanting sexual satisfaction, okay? Lust is where we are made with appetites. If you don't believe me, let's all go to Krispy Kreme and smell those hot donuts with the light flashing and see if any of us got appetites. Amen? And those who are led by the Spirit, they will go in there, and I'm proud of you. And he would say, I am not eating that nasty, filthy, little, tiny donut with all that sugar. And the rest would say, well, give me yours. But I'm serious. We really, God put us together with appetites. All for his glory. I don't have time. It's probably only teaching back there. I think the, perverted pleasure is a really powerful teaching to explain how every single thing in us is wired by God. We were created with appetites that if the Spirit's in control, those appetites are used by God to bring us great pleasure. Those appetites, the appetite of even the appetite for sex. That's why the Bible says, don't arouse this before time. Man, what a society we live in where it's being aroused in 8-year-olds. 10-year-olds. What are they supposed to do with that? Because once it's aroused, it's aroused. Once you let them see that TV show, look at that book, watch, you know, hear that music, you think nothing's happening. No, there is a spirit released of the enemy to arouse their sexual passion. There's scripture. It says, don't allow your passion to arouse until when? Until you fall in love with the one that God's bringing into your life. And then God's going to work that thing to where you cannot wait to get down that aisle. You cannot wait. You're not going to care about a 50,000 wedding ceremony that you stay there for 4 days and this and that. No, you'll be like, let's get out of here. Like the, you know, good old days when you actually, you know, got married young and really wanted to be with the person, not see how big a party you could have. Save your party for later. But you know what? You don't need to, because you've already let the lust come out. You've already slept with so many people. You've already had so much sex that you'd rather have the party. And let me just say, for everyone who's messed this up, and some over and over and over, and we can't get another, we don't have time, but you can look at your life and you can look at the consequences. And my heart's desire, and there's no way I can do all this tonight, is that somewhere you hate that you let the enemy in, and you begin to break the power of how that is now affecting your children and your grandchildren. And you don't buy the lie that just because you did this, now they have to. You need to talk with them. You need to help them understand God's plan. You need to understand God is a jealous God. Amen. He is a jealous God. And he basically says, look, I'm a jealous God because I want you. I want you to be mine. I want all... I want your spirit in charge so you save those appetites for things that are holy in my sight. And God says, but you know what? We're going to have increase on the earth. Amen? And I want you to have a natural relationship, because Adam wanted more than what God had given him. He says, I want somebody like me. And God says, okay, we'll do that. And he said, God says, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm willing as a jealous God to share you with one person. So I'm making a male and female. I'm giving them different giftings and personalities and body parts and the whole thing. And that's the one person I'll share you with intimately. That's the one person. And the scripture is very clear. It says, he calls them one flesh. And I'm trying to get to that scripture, but I'm not going to have time tonight. He actually compares it. He goes, you're one flesh with that person, just like you're one spirit with me. God compares a spiritual intimacy with him to the natural intimacy between a husband and a wife. In other words, I created you spirit, and I want to be with you. And I want you to feel my presence. I want you to know my voice. I want you to be in love with me. I want you to serve me. I want this to be such an awesome thing for all eternity. And I want you to reveal that in the earth through a natural relationship. Okay. And if everybody's thinking just sex, okay, that's the perverted mind. Amen. That's the perverted mind that doesn't even get what love's about. Amen. Worshiping God is when you touch him, your spirit is so open to him. And so when you're worshiping and you're in those songs, it's like from your head to your toe. It is so awesome to feel the very presence of a living God. How cool is that? For him to come in and basically you feel like your whole body is on fire with his love. Amen? It's like every part of every appetite in you is aroused in the sense of, God, I want to be with you. God, I love you. God, I'll do anything for you. God, this is so awesome. You're everything. And he says, look, I will share this in the natural, which isn't even close to the spiritual as you mature, with one man and one woman. It's like this awesome, jealous God who created us with all these appetites that the enemy goes after and calls flesh. Amen? The devil goes, let me put lust here. God says, no, can we keep it passion? The devil goes, no, let me make it lust. No, keep it passion. So you have to look at your lives and you have to really stop and be honest. When have I allowed the enemy to exchange my passion for lust? And then if you want to get really free, why did I do that? Well, I did it because everybody else was doing it. I did it because I didn't know. I did it because I was molested when I was 5 or 6. Not me, I wasn't, but people were. You know, when I was 5 or 6, and that molestation arouses lust. And then you find yourself a young teenager and wondering why you're thinking about stuff you shouldn't be thinking about, having thoughts you shouldn't be having. Amen? And you really have to go back to God and say, God, heal this. Lord, I want to exchange this lust. I want to exchange this way of seeing my appetites, seeing relationships. I want to change this lust for passion. A passion that's going to put me in a relationship that glorifies you. Something that's not about the appetites. In other words, it's not about, okay. God says, draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. And I'm just going to put this out there. It's all in scripture. I just don't have time to bring it. I just don't have time. The woman is the one called the whore. And the woman is the one called a harlot. If you read the thing in Ezekiel where God is so upset with all this, okay, he does blame the men too. He says, and the men do this, and the men allow this, and the men are with male prostitutes, and the men do this, okay? So God doesn't get the men off the hook. But what he does say, because we are created to glorify God, all right? Women, you are created. We are creating this awesome way to represent the bride of Christ. We're the bride of the husband. That's just a glorious thing because we represent the one when Jesus says, if you draw near to me, in other words, you look my way and I'm running. He actually put it in the woman who represents the bride in this, right? To be the one to call the shots. He's like that right now. He's like that right now. God, your relationship with God is as close as you want it. Now, it's the same for men because in the spirit, the men are the bride too, okay? Is this like really too late? Is this like crazy over your heads or anything? I mean, this is kind of deeper stuff than most people ever go. Amen? Get this, though. God knows exactly what he's such an awesome artist. He's such a creator. He's so cool. I just love him. And so if you recognize this, then it's a little easier to say, I don't want to watch this garbage. I understand now how I got to make my daughters and my sons understand this. So God, he's not mean or a chauvinist, amen? He's like, wait a minute, ladies, you represent, whether you like it or not, this is how you were created. You were created by him as the creator. He's the author and finisher of this thing, right? He's the artist, right? And he says, guess what? The ladies, wow, they're being created to be able to represent my bride who is able to get my head to turn. And I will be as aggressive towards her as she indicates she wants. So if you don't have a good thing going with God, you need to ask God why, get healed, and realize he is waiting for you to look at him and say, I want a relationship with you. And there he is. Whoa. He's like, oh, yes. This is what I died for. This is what you were created. The Bible says you were created for his good pleasure. You were created to hang out with me and to love me forever. What a love story. Amen. And I think a lot of people don't like being women in this world or something. I think y'all are all in ministry. I know we're persecuted or whoever. Who cares? I'm glad. I mean, I know if I was a man, I should be glad for that, right? But I'm not. And I'm really glad that I'm not. I love that I get to be the one in this relationship with God who turns his head. Now, men do too, but it's harder for them to get it. They can't see themselves dressed in white going down that aisle going, hey, baby, I want you. I'm pure. I'm holy. I've been waiting. It's going to be fun, God. See, they can't get that. Like, and it's good. That means they're normal. So you have to explain it. You have to explain it to them differently. And it's about the closest relationship you can ever have with a human being, which is true. And so you got to see. And so they're more like, I'm going to be a friend of God. Okay, be his friend. I'll be his bride. But you'll be his bride if you sell out too. But you know what I'm saying? But so I think personally, in some ways, we get persecuted in different things. But in other ways, it's like, wow, God created me specifically to represent the one who kind of calls the shots in how close we are. Can you see now why you need to repent more that guy slept with you? Whoa. Now, I'm not talking about situations of rape, okay? I will say, this date rape, and I know all the things are legally, you can go in there halfway naked, jump all around, and then say, I don't want you, and they're not supposed to touch you. But I will tell you, they were wired to touch you. And I'm not saying they should. I'm saying, mamas, teach your boys to stay away, like the Bible warns. Amen? Stay away. Because God set this thing up that if it goes into lust and appetites, things happen people never expect it to happen. Okay, does everybody get me here? I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just telling you, if you want to protect your daughters, you need to teach your daughters what God has to say. Amen? And you need to teach your sons. Honey, you need to stay away from that. Amen? Amen? It's like, I'm not talking about the legal system and let all the devil's folks do whatever they got to do. I'm just telling you, God wired us a certain way. And so that's why the Bible says be modest. Amen? That's why the Bible says this and that. It's not legalism. Do you understand the difference? If I get that, they're not telling me I have to do this or I can't do this or, you know, I got to wear. It's not about rules. It's about how God made us. And he loves us. And he's like, no, I made you in such a way that if you give that guy just the right smile, he's going to get interested. If you give him a lot more than that, he's going to get a lot more interested. And that's why God is so clear. I don't have time. It's in scripture. We got teaching on it. Teach your daughters. If you minister to young women, you need to teach this stuff. You need to understand, wait a minute, it's so cool. God made you to be able to decide how close a relationship's going to get with him. Now, men are the same as a bride. You get what I'm saying? But in the natural, he's given us that in the natural. So if I am not interested, and there ain't no way you're going to see what you shouldn't see until you're the one that's supposed to see it, it's just going to stop there pretty much. I'm not saying with violence and the perversion on TV and all that stuff isn't stirred up. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking in a perfect world the way God created it. Amen? We're not in that world. But we can do the best we can to understand God and ask for God's divine protection and to understand. And the reason he has me, I've never taught this way before. He wants us to see his handiwork and what he's doing so we can really repent. And to really stop and say, you know, I had, for if any of you are like, okay, well, I have children, but I never had a husband. Well, praise God for the kids. Amen. Praise God for the kids. And never make them feel like they're the problem. And get healed where you blame them for anything. But then step back and say, why did I do that? Because I know that wasn't what God would have me do. And then you got to get, I call it raw and real. I did it because I was afraid that I would never have children. I did it because I was afraid that I'd never have a man if I didn't give him everything. I did it because I knew I wanted to get married. I did it because, I did it because, and know this, somewhere in that, you were led by the lust. See, lust can be, I want to be hugged, or I want to feel like somebody loves me. I want to feel special. I don't want to be, you might have judged me. I don't want to be like my mama. She never got married. She never did this. You know what I mean? So you've got to break all that down. I don't have time. I don't really have time to overly help you do that tonight. Amen? And what the Lord, and we got to get ready to end tonight, and I didn't even start any of the scriptures. But here's what God wants us to get his heart tonight. He wants us to see that the reason he can write Ezekiel, whatever that was, 23, whatever, with such a towards the whole sexual thing. And then he can write the end of Revelations and the bride, and he can write the whole thing of Genesis, and he can write the whole thing about Song of Solomon, because that was his intention. And we allowed the lies of the enemy. We allowed generational curses, and we allowed different things, and some things we didn't allow to happen to us, but we chose how to deal with them. Amen? And in that place, we've opened up the spirit of fornication over our nation, over our children. We've opened that up over our grandchildren. We what we choose to watch, what we choose to not say, I'm not watching this anymore. I mean, young people, I am never buying Jergens for the rest of my life. Just to tell you, it may take away ash or whatever you call it. It may get that ashy thing, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to just have to go buy somebody else's brand, because when I got some lady coming through the window on the commercial saying, I watched you while you were asleep, does this feel strange, and it's just trying to release garbage, it's like, what is wrong with you people? Amen? This isn't innocent stuff. It's trying to rouse lust, and now the enemy's going full blast ahead to arouse lust in a perverted way that he knows God just can't stand. And it's everywhere now. We allowed it in television when we watched the soap operas. And for every place you see it now with a man and a woman, first it was men and women married, now unmarried men and women, you know what it's going to be, and it's already starting to be. Men and women on regular daytime TV, kissing, making out, and pretty soon having sex, right on the television, right in front of our children, right in front of our grandchildren, right on midday TV. And we open the door because we want it to feel okay about sex. We want it to listen to what Dr. such and such had to say. We wanted to watch the daytime soap opera and see what happened to Laura and whoever else. I don't even know their names anymore. We need it to. Do you understand what I'm saying? We have to get to the place of true repentance. We have to get to a place to say, God, forgive me. Forgive me. Just like if I was doing the thing on witchcraft, which is another conference, you have to repent for ever watching I Dream a Genie or Bewitched. It was the little bit of witchcraft as entertainment that brought in Harry Potter and worse. Those are the things that led up to the show Lucifer that's on now, that is completely, you can't even have the commercials on anymore. You feel the demons flying out of your television. And folks, our children and grandchildren and our neighbors' children and grandchildren and kids that we're supposed to care about, even that we don't know, this is flooding our nation. I believe we are already worse than Sodom and Gomorrah, and we are probably already worse than the days of Noah. And truthfully, what we can do now is get our lives right with God and be righteous so our prayers prevail for those we love, amen, as we wait for the return of Christ. Does everybody get what God's talking about tonight? The things that have aroused our lust, starting way back, that didn't seem so bad, has now what? Generationally gotten so horrific that straight out pornography is on our television sets. And our children and our grandchildren and our neighbors' children and our nieces and our nephews can't get away from it if they try. And self-righteousness isn't going to change them. Our righteousness in Christ, our prayers that prevail, a heart that understands God, true repentance. And when I say true repentance, you look at everything in your life that was done sexually wrong. Take a second and think of everything you've looked at. Think of everything you've participated in. Think of every place where it was lust and trying to get a need met and never passion. Think of every single thing that the enemy's... Some of you are like, I don't have time. We'd have to be there for a couple of weeks. I'm just saying, let's put all of it under the blood. Amen? Because here's what we have to see. We have to hate what he hates. We have to recognize where it took us. We have to recognize where it took our nation. We have to recognize the door it has opened for our sons and our daughters. We have to recognize the door that it wants to open to take a generation to hell. Amen? We've got to recognize this isn't child's play. This isn't funny. This isn't kidding. We have to recognize, instead of being upset with gays, and I can get homosexuals free, amen? And I have, and there's people I've gotten free in the name of the Lord. Not me, but Jesus, amen? It's actually not that difficult if they'll listen. It's a matter of hate, self-hate. Amen? So I'm not, believe me, anybody who knows me knows, I don't preach anything that I know that God hasn't already used me and showed me to get them free. So I can preach anything. Amen? And that's not true for a lot of people in the church. Unfortunately, they could. They just don't know it, right? So this isn't about throwing, you know, judging anybody or saying one thing's worse than another thing. Hell's hot if you get there just as a goody two-shoes who never accepted Christ. Amen? But God really talks about the different levels of perversion. We don't have time for that. Here's the thing, though. I want us to really hate what he hates for real. I want you, if you're still even in that game of thinking, of watching that stuff on TV or thinking of crossing those lines or haven't dealt with where you were desperate before and did things that you think you wouldn't do now, but truthfully, that you haven't really put to death, you know what I'm saying? Those lusts, you haven't really dealt with those issues, and you really would do it again if you don't get real about it. Amen? And we've got people who've fallen back into stuff we can't even believe, who've walked with the Lord for years. Amen? Because the prayers of the righteous prevail, but if the church isn't repenting, and if the church isn't letting Holy Spirit sanctify them and get the evil out, if the church isn't recognizing things through the eyes of God, then we have no righteous people. I want my prayers to matter, amen? I want my prayers. I am thankful that my kids can't think of me any way but holy. Amen? And I know they're not living perfect lives, but I know God's in there, and I know he's convicting, and he's working, and I know if it wasn't for God, they'd have lived a lot worse life. Amen? But I want to pray and know how to pray, and I want to show and know how to show, and I want to be able to speak and really talk to them about the things that need to be talked to about from God's perspective. I want to share with my sons. I have shared with my sons the heart of God behind it. Amen? You want to be able to share with your daughters. Why? And I'm cool with the rings and the purity pledges and all that. We've even got rings upstairs. If anybody ever wants to do that with your teenage daughters, I'll go there. But let me tell you, unless they understand the heart of God, they're trying to please mom and dad. And it's going to take that one boy coming along who looks good, makes them feel special, meets a need in them that mom and dad didn't even know was missing. Amen? We want strong women. We got to be strong women of God, and we want strong daughters, amen, and sons. We want them filled with the Holy Spirit. The only way to keep you pure in this age is to be so in love with Jesus that you don't even think of straying. It's not even a thought. So we're going to either play some music, have Karen sing or something. And I really want us to take some time and just kind of line up, on the carpet. Our carpet's really nice padded, so it's really good for prayer. That's how we made the place like this, so a lot of people could get up and lay out and pray before the Lord. But what I really want you to do is to really let God deliver you from every everything about whoredom. Amen. Everything about unclean sex, everything about sex outside of marriage, which is all unclean, everything about getting a need met, everything about being, if you were married and divorced, but it was a relationship that was brought together by lust, really seeing that thing and hating it, everything about you that doesn't love yourself, really get before the Lord and say, Lord, you're going to change this. It's not going to happen in 5 seconds, but I trust you to change this. Everything that, if you're young in this generation and say, oh my gosh, Lord, this is so hard, you're going to have to really help me. He wants to. Amen. He wants to help you. Amen. Nobody's condemning anybody. Nobody's judging anybody. We just want to be so right with God. Amen. And I really believe in that being right with God. He's going to begin to be closer in your life. Amen. He's going to begin to completely consume you and really be all that you need. Not that he's going to have relationships in your life all the time. But there's a big difference in me being so complete in God that I have nothing but to pour out love to my husband or love to my children or love to the people who are here. So content in what God's doing in my life and what he's giving me and knowing he's taking care of me that I'm not trying to use anybody or abuse anybody. Amen? But just all about him. And then everything else glorifying him. Amen? And so we're just going to take a few minutes to do this. And this is one of those, this is homework, you know, like you can go home and really spend some time with God and worship and just ask him, pull it out, Lord, take it out, Lord, heal this. If you need teaching, we've got teaching on things. If you need a life group to really deal with some deeper issues, we'll put one together for you. We do those on Tuesday nights. You know, we'll serve any way we can for people to really get free. Amen. So we're going to ask everybody, if you want to stay at your seat, you can. But if you really want to come up and make an altar before the Lord and just let him begin that work. I really believe it's a beginning of work. If you have a spirit in you of seduction, a spirit of seduction is where you know that you know how to get the guy. You know what I'm talking about. You know, you've watched stuff, you've figured it out, you've watched shows, and there's a spirit of seduction. And that seduction spirit leads young guys, even in the church, to want to be with you. It makes them think lustful things. You can be dancing before the Lord, but there's something else being released besides just your love for God, because you've never seen that you took on a spirit, a harlot spirit, to try to get the guy you want when you want him. If you've got something in your heart that ever thought, I can get any guy I want, or I could get, and it became a competition, it became something, you know what I'm talking about. Some people never had that, okay? But other people really had that. If you had that spirit of seduction, it's a Jezebel. It's really a Jezebel kind of spirit. It's a harlot spirit. It's more than just fornicating and adultery kind of thing. It's actually a seductive spirit that draws guys, that tries to draw guys. And it'll get in your way between you and the Lord, because it's a counterfeit of a holy heart that just wants God. It's a counterfeit of, I only want in my life, God, who you have for my life. It's like a predator. You know, it's like a predator spirit, and it knows what it's doing, and its job is to get you hooked up. Have you beat somebody else? Get that guy. And you don't even know why you do it. You don't even know why guys are always going after you and stuff. Can I tell you, you can be really gorgeous and really have a great figure and everything else according to societies, and the guys still look at you and know you're, this person's off limits. It's a spirit that makes them drawn. It's a spirit. It's a lustful spirit. And so while we're seeking the Lord, and let me say, some of us are a lot older, but maybe we never dealt with this. Maybe nobody, you'd be surprised. You get out there in that nasty old world, that'd be some old kook who wants to come after you. Even, I mean, I'm amazed at some of these people that have this lust thing, and they're married within 5 weeks of being divorced. And you look, I'm thinking, how, God, how, you know? But that's a spirit. There's a demonic spirit that says, let me hook you up with the wrong person so I can ruin your life and their life. And if you had this thing when you were younger, it hasn't gone anywhere until you hate it and command it to go in Jesus' name. And it can even stand in the way in your marriage. And how? Because you caught that man with that thing, and then you lost interest. Last thing you want to do is sleep with him now. All you did is put it all out there to get him. And you got him. And now you're thinking, oh God, why did I get this? That's another whole conference. And amen. You know what I'm talking about, right, ladies? Holy Spirit's talking to you. I'm watching too many eyeballs. Oh, Lord. You know? So this isn't about what you look like now. This isn't about where, this is about your life. This is about, if you haven't renounced this and hated this, then get it off of you now forever. So your kids can be free. So you can be free. So you're not any longer. If a guy even looks at me and has that nasty thinking, which doesn't happen that much now, but 6 or 7 years ago, it still happened a lot. I can't stand it. You know, I was like, ugh. And I always send that devil, Lord, whatever devil of lust that just looked at me through that nasty man's eyes, I ask that devil go to hell in the name of Jesus, get the punishment of Satan. And Lord, I ask you to get that sick old man saved in Jesus' name. All these angels and everything. Don't know, nasty devil go looking at me like that. You look at me like that. Devil, you are going to hell and you're getting a punishment of Satan. And I pray that this man becomes a preacher. That will get him good in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm serious about it. I do not play with devils. When I get to heaven on judgment day, there's going to be a bunch of just trembling because of all the things I asked God to do. Because my daddy God's going to come and say, hey, baby, you're a good girl. I love you. Jesus goes, hey, good looking. And then those devils will be like, and they're going to go, do you really want me to do what you said for me to do to them? I say, yes. Yes, I do. And they are going to be, they are going to get the punishment of Satan. I figure that's going to be the worst thing, right? Don't even give me a bad thought if you're going to have a bad day, devil. Don't even have somebody blow their horn at me and wave in sign language. I mean, because I'm just going to bless the person and ask they get saved, and I always ask that they have to serve God, even if it's prison ministry, and that the demons get the punishment of Satan. And I even torment some of them on the way there. Do you think? I do. I believe in the spirit realm. Amen? So I want you to go and get these things out of you as we get ready to play this. I want you to hate what God hates. I want you to then begin the journey to love yourself, begin the journey to see things the way God sees things, and don't hold back anything. Quit being your own guard. Amen? Father, we just come before you. And Lord, our desire is to be holy because you're holy. Father, we just lay down before you every seductive sin we have ever participated in, God. Every game-playing, harlot kind of thing we've ever done from our childhood, even some as young girls because of the unclean stuff that was done to them and around them, and the things they've learned. Lord, we just bring all this to the altar tonight, God. We bring all of it to you, God. Every relationship we've ever had outside of marriage, every sexual relationship we've ever had outside of marriage, every sexual thing we've even done in marriage that's against your ways and your word. Wow. Every time, God, there's ever been any kind of sexual act that had strings tied to it, manipulation, anything, God, that was done to make us try to love ourselves instead of seeing ourselves the way you do. God, we ask you to cleanse us, whoa, and to heal us and to set us free. God, every place where we compared ourselves and listened to the media and listened to that which the enemy was saying to try to create us as those women in Ezekiel, Lord, we just come before you, God, and we ask, God, that you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, every woman in this room who's had a child out of wedlock, a child, God, that we thank you is precious, God, a child, God, that deserves to be unconditionally loved, a child that deserves to be made whole, a child, God, that deserves to be free from a generational curse of perversion, God, and uncleanness, God. So, Father, we ask, Lord, that there just come a spirit, the Holy Spirit would bring repentance to those who got needs met any need, God, that ever had a child, that ever had a relationship, or that ever had a relationship that produced a child that was not in a marriage relationship that could glorify you. Lord, I thank you for the children. Lord, heal every person who has anger in them towards their children, have felt like they were trapped because what they were planning, what they were thinking didn't work out. Lord, that this thing came back and bit them, God. Lord, every resentful heart in this place over a child, over a relationship, we ask you to bring healing now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we open our hearts to be healed. We open our hearts to recognize that the enemy twisted and did things, God, to get us in these situations. Lord, I ask you to forgive us. We know we're already forgiven. Lord, every woman here who means it, let the cry of their heart be, God, forgive me. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't understand. I didn't understand how I was hurting you. I didn't understand how you were. Lord, every woman in this room who was born again of your spirit and was in a relationship of harlot, Lord, who joined themselves with someone else and they weren't married. Everyone, Lord, who put you in that situation, God, whoa, which you speak so clearly about, Lord, in 1 Corinthians 5, God, and you so cry out, how dare we get into a sexual relationship outside of marriage when God lives inside of us? How dare we think so little of you, God? Lord, I pray tonight that there will come a spirit of conviction, whoa, to go from their head to their toe, to cause them to truly repent and not justify it and not try to come up with, I was in love or any of these things, God. But Lord, that tonight they would fully, fully take the responsibility on their part. And they would cry out for you to heal them of that neediness. Heal them of trying to get what they wanted instead of trusting you. Heal them, God, of opening those doors over their children and grandchildren, God. Lord, I thank you that you're a God that when we repent, you totally forgive us. You absolutely already pay to heal us and cleanse us. Lord, I think you're going to keep working this in women. Lord, every woman here who's been hurt and molested and unclean things opened in their life at an early age, God, I ask that over this weekend you heal that, God, that you call out that hurt young person, Lord, you call out that hurt teenager. And I just see the Lord now just calling out even some of you as young as 3 and 4 and 5 who were touched inappropriately, and some of you as teenagers. I even see cousins, and I see brothers, and I see situations where there were more than one that just really were able to touch you and do things. And I just see the Lord, and I see him grabbing you out of that. And he's got you in his arms. He's saying, you are holy and you are mine. And I speak healing over you right now in the name of Jesus. I speak wholeness right now. And I see the Lord holding you and you're trembling. And the Lord whispers in your ear, you have to forgive them. They did not know the spirit that was operating, and judgment belongs to me. And I hear the Lord saying, I am covering your shame, and I am covering your nakedness, and I am delivering you, and I am healing you if you will forgive. And I want, if that's anything in that, if there's any situation, any relationship, even just a relationship between someone you thought you loved and you thought they loved you, but it wasn't honoring God, I want you to say, Lord Jesus, I forgive. They did not know what spirits were operating. God, I did not know what spirits were operating in me. And I break this hold of these unclean spirits. I release forgiveness. I put it in your hands, God. And I ask you to cleanse me and make me whole. I see the Lord as he's holding you, some as babies, some as teenagers, some as babies, all the way up to teenagers, even to young women, even to older women. I see the Lord hugging you, and I see him speaking now. Be made whole. Receive cleansing. And I see him like placing you back in who you are right now, saying, be one, be made whole. There's not a part of you that can't be touched by me. There's not a part of you that you feel ashamed of. There's not a part of you any longer that you separate from who you are, that you have to hide. I speak wholeness right now, and I speak now that there would come a healing to that broken place, to that broken personality, to that broken place in relationships. I speak healing right now in Jesus' name, and I speak wholeness. I speak wholeness. I speak that these women of God can worship you, Lord, can open up their hearts to you, Lord, can no longer have these guards that try to protect them from intimacy. Oh, but God, these guards are now these guards. I just see in front of some of you like military guards with machine guns that you place there to protect you. But the Lord says, these don't protect you. These just keep a wall between you and me. And I just see the Lord walking up to the guards, and he's looking at you, and you're looking at him, and he's saying, do you want me to get rid of them? And I hear you saying, yes, Lord, you are my guard. Whoa! And I see the Lord just like snapping his fingers, and those spirits, loose these people now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, loose these people now. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Oh, whoa. Lord, right now, in your powerful presence, in your name, I see Jesus walking now where those guards were, and he's just putting these women's hands in his hands, and he's saying, you are my beloved. You are beautiful. You are mine. You do not have to be afraid of drawing near to me. You do not need a guard against intimacy. You just need to be led by my spirit. And I speak wholeness right now in healing to these women who stood behind that guard and were afraid. And I just see the Lord, and it's as if he's dressing you in white, this beautiful, pure silk garment. And I see the Lord, and he's putting beautiful flowers in your hair. And you're like, oh, Lord, I feel like a teenager. And he goes, I know, I know, I know, because I'm preparing you to be my beautiful bride. And I just see the Lord saying, just dance with me and be with me and let me meet every one of your needs. Let me be the one who shows you how much you're worth. And I see you. And as he's holding your hands and he's just making, just his presence is making you feel whole, I see you looking at the nail holes, and I see the Lord saying, yes, I kept these scars. I kept these scars so I could show you how much I love you, how much I paid to heal you, how much I paid to set you free, how much I will never, ever leave you or forsake you, how much I want you to hold on to me. And I just see everybody, I just feel like the Lord wants you to kind of open your hands up with your eyes closed. And just kind of grasp his hand like in the spirit. Just close your hand almost like in a fist and say, Lord, I take your hands in mine. Wow. I want to be close to you. You are my protector. You are my healer. You are my deliverer. And what you say about me is true. I am wonderfully made. I am beautiful. You have great plans for me. And I am completely forgiven. And I have been made clean because of your blood. I want to be sanctified. I want the Holy Spirit to make me completely holy without spot or blemish. And I thank you that you're working with me and you're in love with me and you're never giving up on me. You're my best friend. You're my life coach. Because you're life. You're going to coach me towards you, towards life. You're going to heal all these places in me as I walk with you and trust you. I'm not ashamed because you took that shame. And I see the Lord right now. There's a lot of you, you've got pictures still of being molested. You got pictures of unclean sexual things. And right now I see the Lord and he's putting on you. I want you to see yourself standing there instead of the picture that the enemy's placed in your mind. I want you to now replace that picture, whoa, with the picture of you dressed in a beautiful white gown with beautiful flowers in your hair. And you look so good. And you are holding his hand. And you are looking in his eyes. And you are saying, I agree with you, God. I have been clothed in righteousness. I will never be naked again before the enemy. You are my beloved. And I am yours. So, Father, right now, we just heal those memories. Right now, we heal those memories and we exchange those pictures that the enemy placed there with this picture of this beautiful bride and her glorious bridegroom king, this glorious one. And Lord, we thank you that we are like Esther and you are the king, but you are more glorious than that king. You are the perfect king. And we are your bride. We are your bride. We can't wait for the wedding day. We're so excited about meeting you face to face. We're so excited about when the time comes shortly and you say, come. And we say, come, Lord Jesus, we can't wait anymore. And the Spirit says, that's right. There's no need to wait. And he shouts, come. And Lord, we go right to you. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you for healing in this room. Lord, not one person to walk backwards into their past. Not one person to go back to sexual sin. Any person in this room who is in a situation that cannot glorify God. Lord, I ask you to get them out of that situation. Give them the strength. Give them the wisdom. Show them how. Let them get the help they need, God. But we thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.